I call the September 3rd, 2019 Committee of the Whole Meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and open the time.
Member Boren?
Yes.
Member Covey?
Yes.
Member Ludden?
Yes.
Member Underdunk?
Here.
Chair Brooks?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, and if there's anyone in attendance, we can skip that. All right, so here's the deal. We're leaving for the park tour again.
Unless you guys don't think you need to see those sites, and I can just discuss them. Cock Park Pathway, that's by the gazebo. South and Green Bay Park.
Which one is South and Green Bay? I'm sorry.
Chris?
The one that has a pond.
It's, yeah.
Oh,
the one by my
house.
Yes, the one by your house.
The one by my house, okay. I know that very well. It's the greenhouse.
Has it in the corner, has standing water a lot.
Yep.
Shelton Park. The back section where the pathway is going through and the water collects there.
Okay.
And then that's it. Those are the three. Where
personally, we're I don't need to see any of them. I've seen them all a lot.
I saw them last year.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Dudley, do you feel like you need to see them?
I have seen some of them, but not all of them recently.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll go along.
Okay.
We can discuss those ones. We can tell you what we're thinking in those areas.
Yeah.
Just really quick, what the area is.
Talk about it as if we're there.
Okay. Yeah. So, pretend we're driving up on Hillary.
I just hit the curb.
Chris is not driving because he...
Chris hits
way too many curbs. Yeah, he did. Oh, I'm sorry. Chris had his bathing.
Yeah, my wife delivered at 1:18 p.m. at Lake Forest on Thursday, a little girl, Adeline Grace.
That was going to be other business, but you know.
Congratulations.
Yeah, very exciting.
She's adorable, too.
Policy here. Why are you here?
I know, he didn't have to come, by the way.
That's like, but really?
Even the cheapest of all companies have expanded.
He did not have to be here, so I just want to put that out there. He chose to come.
I'm having a conversation not entailing the last time my child used the bathroom right now for the first time.
Oh, isn't that a pleasure? To be out of the house.
Right. We have family staying with us helping, so everyone's doing a great job.
That's why he's out of the house.
Take advantage of that.
Yep.
Maybe we take advantage.
Thank you.
Instead of going to the parks, we just go to Field Hall.
Second?
So, Cock Park Pathways. None of you guys were on the board when we did that at the planning stages. You didn't approve the plan, did you? Okay. So when we were doing Cock Park, the rebuilding of the gazebo, it was kind of an emergency situation that we had to replace that gazebo because it was about to fall down. So we replaced it, and at the time we did master plan for that site that called for drainage and lighting in the park. At the time, the board chose not to do it because of the expense and because it was the unplanned nature of even replacing the gazebo. They chose just to do the gazebo in that pathway through the park, which has been, it's a great pathway, and it I think it takes down 29 steps from the sidewalk or something crazy like that, as former Commissioner Lorman would tell you. But we have noticed that there's been water that pools over a section of the sidewalk and right by the sign, would you say, Chris?
By the swing.
Yeah.
By that area. We get complaints about. We attempted to put in French drains about 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been watching it, and do you know offhand how many days water is pooled there?
The month of May, it was 27 times it had to be pumped. So it was during the rainy season pretty much every single day, including weekends.
And by had to be pumped, why would it? I mean, I understand it was flooded, but
so,
you pumped it because...
We determined that it's a major thoroughfare, so it's not just a winding park pathway, and that's why we were pumping it.
Okay.
So the same reason why we would apply salt there on that sidewalk in the winter versus every other sidewalk in the park system.
Okay.
It's a higher standard of care.
We take the snow off that sidewalk also.
Correct.
Right? Yes, yeah.
And just
correct.
To remind everyone, there is a parallel path sidewalk. That runs along. I mean, it's an alternate path.
It runs along the sidewalk. Runs along the parking lot for the train station.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. So,
yes. Just so you know. Yes.
So it's not like the only way to get from A to B.
The path
just,
is the hypotenuse.
Yes. Exactly.
Correct. So that's what's going on with that park. So we were asked to look into that, and we'll bring that up in our possible infrastructure improvements.
Okay.
The next is South and Green Bay Park. As all of you have known, especially with this rainy season that we've had this spring, actually this summer, I think we had the most rain we've had in a while. South and Green Bay continues to hold water, almost, as Commissioner Ludden said, almost like a pond. It takes a long time to drain, and then it rains again. And so that area needs some kind of, if we chose to. Now, again, that area was always, as like all of our parks, were designed to hold water and naturally filter them through the soil and go into the system instead of just the water running into drains and out into Lake Michigan. So, but that does have standing water. We asked to document some of the higher areas of that. And then the grass never grows back, so it always looks brown and things like that. And then Shelton Park.
Sorry, can we go back to the South and Green Bay for a
second? Sure, you bet.
This was something that was brought, like, I had people ask me about this when I was going through the caucus. Do we know if this is a challenge for us, like, or is it just unsightly? Is there anything sort of unsafe about it? Does it breed mosquitoes?
That's a great, that's
or
a great question.
Just we just don't like it because it doesn't look good and you can't use the box.
I would say it's that one, exactly. What we do for all of our standing waters is we work with the North Shore Mosquito Abatement District, but we also have pellets that we put in there that kill larvae. So it's not really, people like, you know, we're getting tons of breeding mosquitoes. That's not really the case for standing water for us. We treat really heavily populated like this one.
Okay.
So it's just really unsightly.
Got it.
Yeah,
and
no, not a safety concern, not, you know.
As opposed to Cough Park, where you actually have people walking on the hypotenuse, they're always going to and from. This is sort of a more of an isolated issue.
Yes.
Well, and also Cough Park, hopefully, is used for other things
right.
Other than just tramping through. Cough, we hope to make use of that gazebo.
That's a very good point, is that we've had to cancel a lot of special events in that area because of that,
and
or birthday
rentals?
Parties or anything. We've had to cancel because of the standing water. It's really unusual all spring into the summer.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had to remove things, or it just gets terribly trampled and looks unsightly also. So,
and just to show my ignorance, I'm going to ask you, Chris, I'm glad you're here. Is there a way of making that dip in the south green area look more like what it actually is, which is a bioswale, like put some rocks in there and some tall grass? And
yeah, so typically when you have, the answer is yes.
Okay.
But
okay.
When you have a planted area, you have to have drainage. So like our bioswales here at Takiv, they have drainage that runs through them. So the idea is stormwater flows in, plant material that's there absorbs what it can, the overflow amount is taken away into the storm system, which is how you would do something in a park like that.
Okay, so you couldn't just do it to beautify what is...
So like going to Red's or Home Depot and buying flowers and planting them there would not take care of the standing
water. Or dumping a bunch of rocks
and
flowers.
Or dumping the rocks and the tall grass. You'd still have to put a drain in, so it would just be...
A smaller one.
Yeah.
Smaller
drain. I think, you know, the
can I push back a little bit? Wetter areas in nature don't automatically have no vegetation on them at all.
That's correct.
So it seems like you could select certain types of vegetation that do well in wetter areas.
Correct. But that vegetation would not cause the sidewalk to not flood. So the vegetation.
I'm sorry. Are we talking about Cork? Are we talking
south?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about.
No, I'm talking about.
No,
South and Green. South and Green Bay.
You could plant material there. I mean, would it cause the park to stop flooding? No, it would not.
No,
but it would be
no.
It would be beautification of that area. No,
it would look
point,
like.
Absolutely right.
That's why I say it would look like what it is. Thanks, you got that too. It would
yeah,
look
I apologize.
More like what it is.
Yeah.
Without changing it.
Well, like
that's
you go,
what it
you
is.
Go to the Skokie Lagoons, and there's areas where there's 2 inches of standing water, and there's plant material. Mm-hmm. So yes, absolutely.
So, Cork, I get it with the pathway and trying to make that a useful area. But for this, I was wondering if there was something other than a big drainage project, which we know is going to be very expensive. To do, if we could take this area that's not really used so much and maybe just do something to it at some point that would make it look more like what it is, which is
a what?
Yes. You know, I think we would have to select plantings that would be wetland friendly. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not a landscape architect. Can I tell you that there are, you know, lots of plants that do well in water but don't do well in 2 inches of water, 3 inches of water, which is what we have in some areas of that park. So, is there a solution that doesn't include infrastructure? Yes. Will that solution entirely drain that park? No.
No, but make it more visually appropriate
I think it would.
Because that's what the real problem is. It doesn't look right.
Visually appropriate is also an eye of hope.
Yes.
Well, you know, yeah. Exactly. I would say yes. That would be great. Make it a rain garden or.
Yeah.
But other people may say, well, it's unsightly because it will look like a natural prairie
right.
area. So.
We'll put a sign in front that says natural.
This is natural. It's supposed to look like that.
Just something to think about.
There's scientific right. research okay. that I've read that shows that areas that are planted with like rain garden prairie style mm-hmm. stuff
yeah.
allow significantly more water to penetrate the ground.
I agree with you. Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
So you could do something in that area. So
right.
it doesn't necessarily mean.
Okay.
Yeah. There may be more maintenance costs associated because, believe it or not, sometimes that's a little more
yeah.
maintenance.
That's
especially
part of
at the beginning right, as right. things are taking, so you get the so that we'd have to plan for that.
Yeah.
If we had discussions to do that, we'd have to plan for that maintenance cost
that's
in the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just have to say, from an environmental perspective, as somebody that uses Lake Michigan a lot and cares a lot about water quality, and when we get a lot of complaints about, well, why is the beach closed?
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason the beach is closed is because we have so much runoff going into the lake.
I agree.
Right. So realizing that there are multiple criteria that people have, it's not really important. I'd say let's not dump more runoff into the lake.
I agree.
One of the concerns that we get, I typically get a number of phone calls every year when it's announced that Glencoe has tested positive for West Nile. It tests positive every single year. So that's a fairly common, that's typically when we see a surge in calls about standing water is there'll be a newspaper article or a patch article about West Nile. It's typically every single year. So that's not like a new phenomenon with all the heavy rains that we've had, just for an education point.
I just don't think the skeeters have been that bad this year.
Well, North Shore Mosquito Abatement, if you ever have a chance to go to there, it's unbelievable the equipment they have.
Yeah,
they're very
they do a great job.
And, you know, in the old days it was a little bit different than it is now, but they are a phenomenal team.
They also said it's not a lot of mosquitoes because when it rains
yeah.
a lot,
yeah.
they like just standing water that doesn't get moved. So
get the fresh. Yep.
So that's
a PR opportunity for Aaron to, you know, next spring when it's rainy, write a story about how active the park district is in preventing mosquitoes.
We could do that in the spring. That would be good.
Yeah. Why not?
Okay, Shelton Park. I'll throw it to you, Chris.
Shelton is the one by the train tracks?
Community garden, the playground there? Yeah. Yeah.
So the north end of that park was developed by the park district with an OSLAG grant. So the area of the park that floods is the area that is beyond the extent of the existing park drainage system. So the park does have a drainage system there. We've seen in the last 3 to 5 years heavy flooding in that area. It has even gone on to start to kind of kill a lot of the older established trees just that aren't used to that kind of standing water in their lifespan. So the pathway does flood as well. We went somewhere around 6 or 7 weeks without being able to mow that park this year. That's what we plan to look at is we do get a lot of calls and concerns from residents about that. That it can be very unsightly and, you know, it can be something that people don't really like looking at. For the most part, when there is heavy rains, you can move through the park via the Green Bay Trail, which is paved, but the park pathway itself is flooded for a good portion of the season. So,
For all transparency, this is one of the sites that the task force for the dog park is looking at also. So, okay, any questions about Shelton?
Are they looking at that area or the area closer to the train tracks?
They're looking at probably for the closer to the train tracks up to the path
yeah.
area. Yeah, not the whole park itself, but that area.
Drainage would have to be
addressed if there was a dog park put in there, without a doubt. Any questions about that one? Do you have any other questions about any other parks that were not on our tour list that we can answer for you?
Did we go to Melton last time?
We did.
Oh, get out.
Does the delay in the Tudor Court landscaping that the village is putting in, because, you know, they postponed it
yes.
this fall to next spring, I think, does that create any opportunities for us to do any work in our part of the park at the same time rather than later?
I believe it's next spring that they're doing it, right?
Right, yeah. So that's still too soon for us.
That's too soon, yeah, because our projects for next year are already, yeah. And unless it's been changed, I thought that was a donor project, so that would be really hard to find a donor in that short of time. Yeah, yeah, but you're
rather,
right.
Rather not cause a ruckus twice.
Yes, exactly. You're right. Would be. Correct. Okay.
So now we will begin our discussion on the 3-year capital project plan, Fund 69. And Lisa will lead the discussion.
Okay. I forgot my glasses, so these numbers are really small. So as you know, in the July committee meeting, we began this discussion for trying to plan out the next couple of years of our capital projects so that we stay ahead of the game and plan and can look at the revenue stream or to pay for all these expenses or all these projects. So the staff developed a 5-year condition assessment based on their knowledge of the assets that we have and kind of labeled from 1 to 5, you know, the amenities useful life, if the amenity has useful life, and also is a duplicate in the system, things like that. So we kind of went over this little chart last in July. So does anybody have any questions after kind of looking at this for the last couple months that we can address? And these are for Fund 69, so you know, so those are projects that exceed 200,000 and are identified in the master plan, the ACG plan, or the ADA transition plan.
Question that I have, does the money coming in include the sale of the old director's house?
No, there's nothing. Nothing is put in here that's not a guarantee. So any grants that we may have recently found out we received or donations or sale of a house, none of that has been included in the, so you're thinking of the next page, of the money that's coming in.
Carol, just for my education here, when you've got those two annual line items in the bottom, the annual ADA improvements, the annual roof sinking fund placement.
Correct.
Are those, is that an accrual or is that an actual expense?
No, it will be basically in the form of a commitment of the fund balance.
Okay.
So you're just going to see the fund balance be committed for those amounts growing each year. Right.
Yep. Okay. Yep. We're saving it for what we need.
Yeah.
Yep.
In my world. Yeah.
So it's not on here, like in 21-22, we see the funds available of $1,078,000. But we know we've committed these funds here, but they're not on there for those 3 years. Correct?
No, the only one that I know we're committed to right now is the 200,000, Chris, correct, from the...
You mean revenue coming in or donations? What are you talking about?
No, so the
project
that we just discussed?
Yeah, she's looking at...
Why aren't those on the next 3 years if we have, like, the sinking roof fund and...
Oh, because we... Are they on here? Oh, for the past...
Why are they on there for
2011, 22? Because we just haven't bought those out, but you know that those are dedicated funds.
Okay. That would be helpful just so we can subtract those from the number on the top.
Yeah. We just erased the whole worksheet, and that if that's the direction, is obviously they can be added back very quickly. Yeah. The $100,000 for the ADA is not necessarily... a sinking fund, Chris? Aren't there identified projects within this 3-year that will be done? So that's an expended item. It's really just...
Yeah, ADA is... we're going to look for ADA improvements. We have a commitment to fix all of our assets within a 10-year period, so we're dedicating $100,000 every year.
Some of them are small-ticket items, mm-hmm. like connecting a pathway to a tennis court, where other things are larger-ticket items.
And we may use it for, like, for example... The pathway or Lincoln Crescent, we'll be using some of that funds for that.
So the if you carry the sinking fund of the 50,000 across, we were talking about what 2025 for roof replacement.
Yes, yeah, something like that.
Around the total of 1.2 million, we are just it was just starting to chip away at it, that is in no way, shape, or form going to pay for the whole roof.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we have identified that's going to be down the road because that will be
significant expense. Yeah. And we may recommend raising that number as we get closer.
Right.
Was it the roof just redone?
One of them.
So,
how many roofs do you have?
Well, two of them, really.
Well, so in 2016, we replaced the steep slope roofs on the building. So, like the clock tower, the early childhood building. Typically, your flat roofs on a facility like this have a lifespan of around 18 to 22 years, depending on how you take care of them and weather conditions. So, we kind of know starting from 2008 on that we need to start having a plan for kind of worst case scenario when we hit that 18 year mark.
Got it. So the flat roofs, which I don't know where those are, but you have flat roofs here and they were not replaced.
The gym.
Correct. The gym, some were replaced in the renovation, some were done the year after the renovation.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Will that include that lead abatement painting soffit whole scenario?
That's all been completed.
That's
so that
completely
the
done.
Lead
okay.
paint has been removed
right.
and covered and
okay.
as it needs to be.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Now, there are some things here that sort of rest on some other decisions by other bodies. I'm thinking like the maybe some of the work with the tennis courts at the lakefront. If the village, you know, just makes some decisions about getting water from someplace else, would they still continue those?
Well, that wouldn't be for 10 years.
Okay.
But we do
reasonably that any decision on the water plant would not be for 10 years. So we'd have to make a decision for 10 years on those tennis courts.
But to that point, you and I were the only commissioners that heard the master plan for the lakefront.
Yeah.
Do you recall? We didn't do anything with it, but we were presented with a master plan.
Right.
So when I see the tennis courts, I realize they're tied into the whole. Oh, were you there too for that? Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like it was just the beginning.
Oh, it's the beginning. Okay.
We're older than we look.
Well,
anyway.
I think you got like just a little bit of the end of it, but I remember sitting in some meeting when we just got in the plan, and all of the things at the lakefront are interconnected, you know? So I would hate to just do one little piece of it that then doesn't connect to other things we're doing. We all see a lot of red under Lakefront Beach. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
A little too much.
And when I have a question regarding that pier decking. We've got to be determined. So really that and the maintenance garage, if we had a firmer kind of just ballpark on those...
I agree.
That, you know, that I guess we have to think about investing in some design fees for, or some whatever.
I would totally agree. There's some things that are on here that we will not take a guess on how much it would cost. So I would highly recommend for something like we did just for Watts, a master plan. I would highly recommend doing that for the maintenance garage and the pier so that you have an idea. It could be phases. Like Lakefront, we have a master plan. We can do some of those in phases.
Right.
Same with the maintenance. I would recommend doing a master plan for that and spending the money now so that we kind of get an idea how much it costs and if we can do it in phases so that we could proceed with, you know,
yeah,
some
we have to know.
Figures.
Because we know that's a huge big ticket thing.
But we don't know how big. So,
yeah, we know.
You know, could
not
it be
one of the things you can easily put up for period of bond, right?
Right.
People are just not.
Oh, if you do a referendum?
Yeah.
Yeah, for referendum, they probably wouldn't bond. You don't need referendum approval, so you could do a bond and pay for a maintenance.
It's so
right.
The lakefront is
sorry.
Sexy.
It would never pass it. You're right.
That's
it would never pass a referendum, but the lakefront probably would.
Right. The lakefront.
Yeah.
That.
Right. Yeah.
Think about that mindset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to think about that.
Can I just ask to make sure I'm interpreting this correctly? Notwithstanding the TBD, which are potentially some big numbers in the right column of the 11 by 17, the total there is $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the total at the bottom of your other page is $5
million. We're hoping that you would notice that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So that means really this is more like 10 or $12
million. Mm-hmm.
And we've got $5.5 million mm-hmm, in projected funds.
Right.
But I'm gonna, so that nobody commits suicide. We've got, you know, the non-referendum bonds, which I think you're thinking are around 4 million-ish.
It's now up to, because the rates have come down in the couple of months that we've talked about it, obviously. So right now we're up to just under 4.2 million. So, you know, by waiting, we've added the ability to issue a little over 300,000. But it's like, when is that? And also remember, it takes a good 2.5-3 months to go through the whole process of the bond sale.
Right. Yep.
Okay, so I'm not asking for, like, an answer down to $100,000. I'm just saying conceptually, am I thinking about
correct.
Ideally, the bottom of this page would match
or come a little closer than it was. So in another question I'm going to ask you and post you, and you don't have to answer it tonight, but you do have to think about it. Is everything on here something that you have to replace? You know, if you say yes, then that's really your decision. Is every asset on here to say, yes, we have to replace that? And then if you say yes, my second follow-up question would it be smaller, would it be the same, or would it be bigger? So those are the things you kind of say, okay, if I'm going to do this, can I make it a little smaller? Can I have less of it? Can it be, you know, simplified somehow? So those are the things you have to look at. But when you look at the bottom line, even if you do that, we're still not, you know, adding up. I mean, to do most of our big infrastructure repairs, in my opinion, we all have to go for a bond.
Yeah. And I wasn't here for this, but maybe you guys can shed some light on this. Campus is not new, right? This has been around for a couple of years. What was the thought of going forward with the linear park while having this here as well?
It's a good question. I mean, we know, because that's a whole new expense,
right?
And it
affects maintenance.
Mm-hmm. So
well, one reason is the master plan, and the master plan mandated that we address more walking paths.
Yeah.
That was like the number one concern. That's one thing. And the second thing is, that's a place where you can get grant money. Mm-hmm. And we did.
And so
and we're hoping for more.
Right.
So
and
it's
one point
like,
and
donations
here.
Too.
Right.
Excuse me?
Donations too.
Correct.
But of the 1.5 million, and I know you sent this out last time, Lisa, so part of my forgiveness, part of my lack of memory here, of this 1.5 million capital expense, how much do we have committed and how much is likely?
We believe, and I'm going to go off memory, it's $1.2 million.
Is committed?
No, is possible.
Okay,
so we don't
possible.
Have confirmation of the 670 and we don't have confirmation of the 400,000.
Okay. I would just like to build on Lisa Brooks's answer, which I agree with. What she said entirely about the community survey. The other is we said there's always, within reason, there's always going to be a list like this.
Yeah.
And we know that, you know, yeah, it's scary that that's 8 million, this is 5 million, but you add 4 million bucks in non-referendum bonds, it's not, you know, entirely different numbers. And we, some of this stuff we may defer and decide we don't need to replace Milton, or it turns out that the parking or the maintenance center we do, but we don't do it for six years,
right.
Instead of 5 years, or some of this stuff gets pushed out a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And some things might be able to be phased.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't look at the $4 million in non-referendum bond as it's not free, right? You're still paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's.
There'll be a raise in their taxes a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's just.
Not going to be well perceived.
Right,
that's the way it is.
Challenge. So that's what kind of these government entities do. So it's good to understand that. And I do agree that there are certain things on here that can be phased, and certain things on here that
we'd like to do, but just can't right now.
Right.
We'll delay them.
Yeah.
Now I have to add one thing that's not on here that is potentially going to be an issue for us, and that is the dog park. So here we have NA, you know, donations.
Mm-hmm.
There's an argument to be made that people want a dog park, and the park district should be paying for it,
mm-hmm.
and it shouldn't have to be dependent on donations. So that is something looming just off in the corner. And it's not, like everything, it's not an insignificant potential expense. So,
if I were asked that question, I think my response would be, I appreciate that, but approximately twice as many people said they wanted walking paths in those surveys. So if I had to choose one
or the other,
it's clear which one I would.
And then they would say, well, you don't have to choose one. And, you know, why don't you stop doing playgrounds and give me my dog park? Yeah. Believe me, there's,
and look, and
you know, so it's just an issue we will have to face, is all I'm saying.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A comment I'd like to make is I want to make sure that none of our decisions impact on our level of maintenance.
Good point.
The community is judged by outsiders and by our residents. In a lot of ways, in the level of maintenance in our facilities. And if those are degraded, that really impacts everything in the community. And I just want to make sure we'll be able to maintain our level of maintenance. Yes, the shiny new looks, you know, is great and nice, but we've got to maintain what we have as well.
That's a good point. Today's capital expense is tomorrow's operating. Yeah.
And that's why when we were discussing the pathway, we were very clear about... That's when we were discussing the pathway, we were very clear about what the added maintenance expenses would mean to the project, and we'll continue to do that. Sometimes by adding, or because we're not on here, it's not, except for the dog park, is adding a new amenity. All the other ones are current amenities, and sometimes by repairing or fixing or modernizing those amenities, it becomes easier to maintain. You know what I mean? Yep. There's things that we do to spend money. For example, the parks team just put clay in all the infield, well, not all of them, a majority of our infield baseball field. While that's an expense now, hopefully that benefit will pay off in the spring. So yes, it's, sometimes you do things of current assets that make it more efficient.
We're all happy when it's NPV positive.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But I do echo Dudley's comments here that we just need to be very cognizant. And we think of it's little things. It's hiring someone to take a train in every day and every night. Mm-hmm. But I would think about how we can think about the OPEX on these things. For instance, you know, as I was talking about with someone last time, the capital expenses with the maintenance center. You know, if people are really spending 10% of their time finding tools, well, if you put $3 million in there and you make it easier, you should be able to attrit out individuals, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a reduction in operating expense. So we have to think about holistically what these capital expenses actually mean in terms of the whole budget.
The one thing, Lisa, you asked what if there's anything we could take out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all talked about this in the past, that we have more tennis courts than our population really needs. Unfortunately, most of them are in green, so that doesn't really help us right now. But if these turn yellow or red, that is always something we have discussed.
We have one that's red.
The most visible part.
Right. Yeah. That's why I mentioned that one.
It may become something else.
Right.
That's part of that bigger picture.
Yeah. Is there anything on the list? Is there anything on the list that's, I guess, being mostly the red zone, that is a health or safety issue?
No, because if it was, it already have a fence around it.
But it may become in 2 years. So you have to remember, some of those red ones, we say 2 years useful life. So we're already, next year we're doing the pathway, so we're not doing any projects. That means some of the reds, the following year, we'll be getting very close to that. So
well, here's a red one.
If you push them off, know that mean, right, may mean we take them out.
Fun, yeah. Right.
So, or we just take them out until it's later.
I was more than a little concerned, not extremely concerned, but a little bit concerned about the safety of your employees out there, Chris, in that maintenance center. Did not seem like, it seems like there could be accidents that happen, people tripping over things, you know, uneven surfaces. Those things make me a little bit concerned. And I just need to be, all you need is one person to get injured on the job, and it's a big concern. It did not seem to me like that was the mecca of safety.
No, you know, it's like you work there and you get used to how it looks.
Right.
And then as you walk outsiders through it, you see their faces and it kind of puts in perspective, you know, the actual conditions. So I think your point is is very accurate. You know, we definitely got 10 pounds of a 2-pound bag back there.
Yep.
And it certainly impacts our operation, you know, just from a risk management perspective, even, you know, operational efficiency, all those kinds of things. I mean, staff retention, all that type of stuff is impacted by
yep.
that type of a condition. So I would agree with that.
How accurate are these? Are these drainage numbers for Charleston and Cobb?
Those are just estimates, kind of just something to put as a placeholder right now. So we haven't put pen to paper for that stuff yet.
Would you say they're on the high end, or would you say you think that's?
I would say that they're a conservative estimate right now, based on, you know, what I would imagine a project would be. But then again, when we get out there, we may find site conditions are different. So.
So if I were managing this budget and I had to make tough choices, I'd axe Milton and the Shelton pathway drainage and Call Park drainage.
Pardon me?
Got it. He'd axe the extensive drainage.
If you ask me, I mean, I'll just say.
Oh, take out the drainage?
The X Taken Park, is that Milton?
You just take out the drainage?
No.
Of any part.
Oh, the ones where they move the equipment?
Right. I mean,
yeah. That little cup.
It's wet. It's always been wet. I agree.
Walk around that extra 100 yards.
My son's best friend lives right next to him. The towers live right there.
I love
it. And he'd ask me about it.
For what?
Question? Athletic field and site amenities. We have take of softball and lights, which is the darkest, deepest red. TBD. So we don't even have a number in there.
Well, it really depends on what you're looking for. Are we looking to recreate a lighted field?
Are we?
Are we looking for a softball field? Are we looking for a multi-use field? Are we looking for a soccer field? I mean, you can't really create a budget until you have a scope.
So it
is the district's only lighted field. The lights are well past the end of their useful life, and we kind of take a chance with them every year whether they're going to work or not.
Chris, what's the demand for it?
The demand has grown some in the last 2 years. We currently are not running a softball program. Bobby would probably be better to answer that question than me.
Yeah, so from my experience, I've been dealing with the affiliates a lot recently. It's the only field, so people want to use it a lot. But I wouldn't say it's used all the time, but it's the only field that our teams have.
So come fall, when it gets dark at 4 o'clock and they're trying to finish up the season, there's probably a couple months that you'd probably use heavier than the rest of the year.
It's not just softball, right? I mean, there's other sports.
So it's not used for it's very little for softball.
That's what I thought.
It's used by soccer, AYSO. It's used by Scottish soccer. It's used by GBA. It used to be used by Gladiator, but they're no longer. So it's going to be the fall more than the spring, because the spring it stays late. Mm-hmm. And then we do have rentals, too.
Right.
Most of the groups don't want to use it because it's a softball field. And the difference in a softball field and a regular field is grass in field. On a baseball field, this is just all clay. It's not in great condition. Most fine for
recreation. So the less than 5%, is that because of the lights?
The lights.
So that to me is actually, that one, in my opinion, that should be bifurcated into what the field is versus what the amenity of the lights is.
My only point on that was, the lights are going to be a lot.
Yeah.
So would you spend that much money on a softball field that people don't want to play on? They go out of their way to try, but they only play because it's a lit field.
I would probably... It would be good to have that. It's good to understand that 5%. Whoever asked that, was it you that asked that question, Stephanie?
No.
Whoever asked, someone did. I think it's good to understand that 5% is a lit amenity issue and not a field issue.
Okay.
And then you could explore other options. I don't know if
there is drainage issues with the field, too.
Or the lights as well, right? There are.
Well, they're not going to perform the same way as what we have out there. I've used portable lights other times in my career. They're not the same as field lights, but they work for temporary events. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a project and we've got to move somebody somewhere else for a week or two or something like that, but they're not as good, but it's a possibility.
I was thinking of hundreds of thousands for the fall. I mean, the time change is October 30th usually, right? End of October?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of thousands for
November,
for,
yeah.
If you told me this was in the summertime, people wanted to play until 10, 11 o'clock at night, it's a different story, right?
Yeah, I mean, lights are really expensive. You'd want that field to have multiple purposes, not
correct.
Just softball, which is really
correct.
Not played that much. And so you'd
That's why we would change the use of the field.
Yeah.
You'd have
so
to,
then it's a whole big field
again.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's
but
a
like
big,
right now,
big project.
It's dark. They would have to have lights on probably in last hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, that's something to look at.
For what it's worth, though, that's a perfect example of that. Well, if the lights broke, we could just say, well, we don't have a lighted field
right.
anymore, but we don't have to spend $600,000
yeah.
next year. We just defer it until we decide mm-hmm. that we want to spend that
money. But you do also have 350 kids in the softball and baseball league in Glencoe, and they're all Glencoe kids. So that's 30% of all Glencoe
yeah.
school kids that are using mm-hmm. a field potentially in a year.
But they're not. They don't go there anyway because it's softball and they play baseball. I've lived this.
Well, there's girls softball there.
Yeah,
there
there's
yeah.
it, but it's not a.
It would be interesting
sport.
To see the actual demand of it this
yeah.
fall, especially.
Mm-hmm. And we're tracking it now.
I can't think of a time where my kids have been under the lights, but they're probably adult leagues and probably teenagers.
Well,
so
soccer does
leagues.
A lot. I
yeah,
know. Soccer's.
Yeah, we
a
no
lot.
Longer have adult leagues.
No,
softball
no
is.
Yeah, they play elsewhere.
They play elsewhere. We had just one night towards the end, and then when we put the pathway in, they didn't like the pathway.
Yeah.
So they tend to softball tend to gravitate to one complex, which many fields better competition. So
typically in the fall we have soccer because they have the first right of refusal based on their affiliate agreement, so they have first dibs on the field over
mm-hmm.
Softball or baseball.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
Do you
good point.
Have any? This is more than just changing out light bulbs, right?
Yeah. It's not something I'm going to like.
It's not like in my house when we change the LED. Huh?
They were installed in 1980, so yeah.
I mean, we've got our money's worth out of them. Again, they're HID fixtures. We would look for something LED if we decided to replace them.
Yeah.
Probably need less poles that are currently out there.
Mm-hmm.
But again. There would also be less light spill over into the neighboring properties as well.
Which is nice.
How many,
which is nice.
Yeah, how many poles are out there now, Chris?
I think there's six. I think we'd probably be find ourselves somewhere in 3 to 5. I don't think we'd have six. But just offhand, probably less than six. Because it's not as big a field anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, Josh had the courage to say this is what I'd get rid of. Does anybody else have an opinion on that?
Or scale up or scale down.
Correct.
Right.
Any old opinion.
So, I'm sorry, Josh.
Is 225 for Milton? Can we get by?
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Josh. You were just take drainage out of Shelton and what else?
Caulk.
Okay.
And I wouldn't replace Milton. If you guys said we absolutely don't have any money, or not yet. If you said we have substantially less money than we have to do all this stuff, what would you cut? Of course. It's really easy to say that when there's a bunch of TBDs on here. And really
yeah.
What those are.
Yeah.
Of the ones that have numbers, that's what it feels like would be easy to defer.
Yeah. Again, TBDs are, we would have to do master plans to give you a more accurate price tag of that. And the scope of it is also another consideration.
Like the stuff at the beach, you know, I just don't feel like we really have a choice. Like, we can't not replace it. So that's
an
unfortunate
yeah.
position because that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that, you know, I just don't see how we wouldn't do.
The
right?
pier concerns me because there's no cost associated, but it's such an important asset. It's the thing people gravitate to when they come down that curve on the beach.
Go for referendum.
You put the whole beach. If we decided that we were going to go down that path of needing to referendum something, the beach and Watts are the two things that you would probably package.
Yeah.
And think about it. Think about it that way, because those are those amenities that people love. They don't. I don't think people realize the expense of a beach.
No.
They don't realize the expense.
No, they don't.
So,
and
yeah.
they like it just
yeah.
the way it is.
And they like
it's
it
the
just the way it is.
Yeah.
So I would agree on Milton. I think is explainable. I don't know about the drainage. What is the 325 for Friends? Because that seems to be a...
Just a replacement
of the
worn out, so.
Of the floor.
Yeah,
safety
the floor in place,
yeah.
the safety surface, yeah.
Got it. I think those are the right starts. I mean, the other question is, I hate to bring up our Friends topic, the lakefront tennis. Yeah. do you maintain this court that's a challenge to maintain? Or do you say, look, you know, there's plenty of other courts in town? It's a hard question, because there's a lot of people who play tennis there. But it's also a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a kind of a misplaced tennis court, if you ask me. It looks like you have this beautiful park and you have these tennis courts kind of off to the side that's not in great condition. But I wouldn't want to add capital expenditures to have additional operating expenditures, because a court really shouldn't, quote unquote, be on top of a water bank or water storage.
Let me double click on that. I think in principle I understand what you're saying, but if we were to, the tennis courts there are going to get to a point where if we don't replace them, they're not safe, right? And then we have to take them out. And then, like, we're probably not going to want just a cement patch there, right? We'd probably have to spend money to put something else.
We would,
there.
Yeah. We'd have to put some kind of, yeah.
And so then I find myself asking, well, is it cheaper just to replace the tennis courts or to maintain them than to put something else?
Right. You have to remember, when you take acid out, it costs money to price, and depending what the acid is, it's the expensive.
But it might be replaced with something similar but different, like... A discussion when the playing mound, a sports court, or one of those play lumpy things that
the
was
mounds,
described,
the play mounds
and part of it, and maybe keeping one court. So there's all this kind of discussion that involved the whole plan.
Or some just lumpy grass.
Just lumps.
Yeah. I will speak for Milton.
Oh, gosh,
for
me too.
Milton.
I know. Go
so
ahead.
So 2 years ago, I said, we don't need to replace mounds. And I have kind of changed that a little. I don't feel we need to spend $225. I think it could be more of a, you know, small park. You don't have to put everything in. I know things cost a lot, and I know it would still be at least 100. But we will face resistance in that neighborhood, I have learned in the past 2 years. So, you know, people get used to what they love, and people get used to their neighborhood and their street, and it means something to them, and so... That's just my two cents. But I would take it. I would take it down. I don't think it has to be elaborate in any means, but just something.
I'd hate to burst your bubble for $100,000. You get a swing set. I'm just saying. And if you're okay with that, then you're okay with that.
Right.
But just know that, right?
Well, I think that you've got a couple of things.
Right, you got a swing set, that
you don't have at other parks. You got the pathway.
Yeah, right.
Which, to resurface that, you're probably thinking 15, something like that.
Okay.
You've got the playground. You've got a site that has no drainage, so if you're going to go back, you're going to have to put drainage in for the playground. If you're putting drainage in, that's a cost-effective time to address some of the neighboring resident concerns if the board decided to do that. So I think for $100,000, you probably are going to find yourself with a resurfaced pathway and a swing set and a little slide. And that may be perfectly fine.
And that may be perfectly fine. And a picnic bench.
And a picnic table.
It's already there. Yeah.
You know, but I think it would be absolutely underwhelming compared to some of the other projects we've done, but it would be better than nothing.
I agree, but it's very small, so it's easy not to compare it to, say, Greenwood.
Well, I mean, we couldn't put back the playground that's there now. I mean, we would have to probably clear another 250 square feet of the trees to put that existing playground right back where it is, just based on the way the safety zones are in 2019 versus, you know, when that was originally put there. So I don't think that anybody would support, you know, clear cutting a third of that park to put in a larger playground.
And that then becomes the justification for having fewer things because of the fall zone has changed, and now we're having fewer things in there. And it's used as a kind of a neighborhood community little gathering place. I mean, I understand, and I think it might be a good chance for us to try to do something, you know, less.
I agree. I mean, I think there's, look, if you're going to do something, I certainly wouldn't put $225 in it. I think the challenge that I think we're all dancing around here is that you've got 6 million bucks for Watts, a maintenance center, and the beach, which are kind of, the maintenance center is what you can do in chunks, but if you think about 6 million out of kind of $8 million, that's 75%. No matter how, you could actually double Milton from 225 to 450, and yet you still have this other lingering problem. I think what we're going to have to end up doing is figure out, it sounds like to me there's too much that you can't cut, to actually start thinking about, forget about, you know, cutting little things, think about what the heck is our plan going to be if we go down this trajectory of 8 million, 5 million. And we may have to have a serious conversation about, do you have to go for a referendum and what that impact is, and start thinking about the case for that, because it won't go over well. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to go well because no one's going to understand that your 1.2 million, the 1.5 million that you're plugging into Old Green Bay, no one cares that 75% of it is paid for by other grants. They just don't care about it. The optics are they're diverting money from Milton to build a linear park in Green Bay.
But if you never do anything new,
yep,
then, you know, that's the other side of the coin. So
when other communities are doing new things,
right,
then that...
Totally agree. Right. But that's where you have to start thinking about the campaign of, hey guys, if we're going to do new things, the campaign has to be an effective communication of, we're doing new things intelligently.
So
we're doing new things where we're getting a ton of money to do it, and then we need a referendum not to do the new things, because the new things paid for elsewhere. We need a referendum, we need more money to maintain the things that you love, the beach and Watts, because the other stuff is
they don't care about, yeah.
And by the way, do you think packaging these two things together is a good thing or a bad thing? Watts and
hot
beach.
Cold.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like
that's where we.
It's hard for people to. You know,
I think that both of those are the beloved traditions.
Do you think putting them
agree.
Together is a good strategy? So I'm feeling like
I don't know what this.
Yeah,
I don't know what the strategy is. I think we have to sort of sit down and think long and hard about it. But I don't think cutting 100,000 here or 300,000 there is going to get us to where, to any comfort level.
Well, we sold to Gaelic.
Yes.
Well, we also,
yes.
Okay, this
to
is...
Show
I'm not convinced we need to go to referendum.
This is worst case scenario on this.
Well, but we have a bunch of CBDs that don't have anything.
But we've looked at it. So, again, like 2 years ago when I saw those numbers, I felt the same way. Like, we shouldn't do anything new. We should just maintain. But when you look at it, like, things have gone off of here. And things do change. So I still feel this is worst case scenario. I think that we were always going to go and get a bond. I don't think regardless, we all know we were going to do that anyway. So that money is going to be there. And then the referendum is our worst case scenario, I think.
Well, so the bond, you don't need to, sorry, I cut you off twice.
I just went
now
from everybody's perspective
us,
on the
yes,
referendum,
yes.
The time to do a referendum
yeah.
would be in 2025.
Okay.
Because that's when the debt is going to be paid off of this building.
That's what, okay.
So then you're keeping the debt level consistent. You time it.
Yes.
Just like we want to do with Watts.
Right.
But with Watts,
yeah.
I think you're looking to raise the tax rate slightly because what's coming off, you could issue a lot more and do a lot more now
right.
with that non-referendum debt coming off. So
right.
just remember from a referendum when you're talking about that,
yep.
yeah.
timing is 2025.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
Okay.
So
6 years.
I won't be here, and I'm good with that.
I don't want to be in the position of raising taxes.
No, but when that debt comes off, you're going to keep it consistent with another referendum issue.
So you wouldn't be raising it for a referendum?
Yeah, right.
Necessary.
I mean, this
you're
is just a
time. You're just reissuing
it. You're basically reissuing it, but you need
yeah,
it passed by a referendum.
There's never a good time for it.
This is really a bad time.
So explain to me how we can raise money. We can raise up to X dollars without referendum.
Yep.
How much for you?
Right.
Yep.
We have non-referendum.
4.2 million.
Yeah.
Correct.
And that would, I think they said, what, about 30 bucks a family?
Would raise it about 37 to $40 is what he anticipated.
Yeah, so that's where we have to think about the campaign there. It's like, is 40 bucks worth
right.
it for you to have an awesome beach in the summer mm-hmm. and an awesome off center in the winter? And those are the kind of things that I just want to mm-hmm. plant that seed of, if you think that, and I keep on saying referendum and bond is the same thing, and I know they're not, so I apologize. But if it's a foregone conclusion, like what Stephanie's saying, that we are looking to get a bond to help with some of these things here, then we need to start thinking about how you get that marketed. And that's where Aaron comes in.
Mm-hmm. Well, most people don't pay that much attention to the bond, because we've had it, and it's basically, we're just continuing it.
No, I'm not talking about 2025. No, I'm talking that even with the non-referendum bond, it's going to go up. Your tax, the tax bill will go up.
And that's the $40
per certain value. So the higher value of a house.
$800,000.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
$30 for $800,000.
For the value,
value
of your house.
Was $800,000.
Okay. So
I'm not going to notice that in my $20,000 tax bill.
Well, but, the, but right. you're and not going to notice in your tax bill, but you guys aren't forgetting about the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
The court of public opinion is not your tax bill. It is when the Glencoe anchor doesn't have much to discuss here besides the pet of the week. On the front page is they're raising your taxes.
Right, but in
just to throw more information into it, you can also then respond that because we have put aside our fund balance reserves, we have not had to issue debt for the last 5 or 6 years. So
there's a legitimate story there, Carol. It's just we have to think about the positioning of
totally.
If that's a foregone conclusion, which, again, I don't know if it is that you're going for this formula.
It's almost like you're planning your marketing effort like you were going for a referendum, but you're not officially going for a referendum.
Right.
It's just that whole marketing effort
you're
that's so important.
Right.
And it's
going to
take time. It can't be sprung on people. And then because I've seen school referendums and you think people have got to support their schools. Failing a lot.
Yeah.
Well, remember, they're not voting on a bond increase.
Right.
You're
no,
just doing it.
No,
but what you want to do is not have the black eye in the community.
Yeah.
Right.
So that when
you
have to do it.
Start planting the seeds now. Hey, Watts is, we're really concerned that Watts isn't going to be open this winter. Right? If that's a real concern of yours, Chris, and that's what you're mentioning, or you start planting seeds, God, that fluid, the AC fluid or whatever, the CFC refrigerant, it's getting more expensive. You plant those seeds, and this way people have an understanding. So when it comes around,
exactly.
Yeah, people don't understand how much it is to operate lots and how much money we lose on lots. And making these improvements, and the ones we want to make in the future, would help bring more revenue to lots. So it makes sense. But what I was trying to say is that we've had these bond issues, and most communities do. I mean, you can't operate without it. And people need it, just like people need a mortgage. So in all your tenure here, like, do you remember that many complaints about a bond issue? I can't imagine there's that many.
Well, you have to remember that in 2001, it was a referendum bond issue. So it was voter approval.
Yeah.
And then it was the takeoff, and they have just been refunding. So this is the first time that we would package it for multiple things. It's not an isolated one-time vote, referendum vote that's planning this project.
Yeah.
And
in my experience
of it. And people's property taxes just went up by X percent in the new sure thing. And so they're going to wonder, why is it my property taxes are going up and you still can't do this? What's
Right, because it...
And there's a logical explanation there. I'll get off my soapbox and just think about how we want to market it.
No, I agree. I mean, it's a tough sell to do the increase to cash in on an increment that you've already got. That works pretty easily, but the optics are tough.
Can you remind us what we're trying to accomplish?
As you go off. So what I wanted you to start doing what you are is brainstorming, start thinking of different options, and really your discussion was really good, and this might be enough discussion for today as you went through to decide what you're going to prioritize. So from what I heard, or decide what you can live with or can't live with, but you don't have to answer that tonight. So from what I'm hearing right now is there is a really big sentiment that we probably have to do a bond issue. So let's figure out how we sell that. That bond issue would be used for the bond issue would be used for maintenance, is what I heard.
You
could determine whatever you want, because as you said that.
Money in a bucket.
Well, because what you have to understand is that is 10 when in 2025, probably if you went back to the taxpayers for a referendum for the maintenance center, it would not pass.
Right, so that's where... That's
in 2025, you went for referendum for the beach, it probably would pass. So that's kind of the timing of everything would have to play out and how long can things really last for that? We know we have to keep the pier. The pier is the only reason we still have a beach this year. If we didn't have that pier, we would not have a beach. It would be
so the, pier,
the water
so
would be gone.
That's part of the educational. Mm-hmm.
It is.
The mm-hmm. beach is surviving.
It's part of it's part of what's keeping our sand there. So,
what we
just
need.
Just to the point about the pier, we did have a structural. I don't want to just. I want to make sure that the right information
is
out there. We had a structural engineer come and look at it 4 years ago. The pier structure itself is solid.
Yep.
What we're having issues with is the decking that was put on in the 90s on top. So what we have is basically like concrete and asphalt and then this wood decking under on top of that. And what happens is the water gets under this plastic decking, turns to ice, lifts the decking up, and then sand gets in there and the decking can't come back down. And that's where we have this wavy pier. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about a storm coming in the pier washing away.
Right.
We're talking about the aesthetic walking surface on the pier. So having a concept plan for that, that may be a stamped concrete, it may be something else. I don't think we're in the realm of having to replace the whole pier. That's an $8 million project.
Right. Yeah, they said that was structurally sound.
And we've had an engineer look at that within the last 4 years. So that was looked at the same time that the gazebo was looked at. And we have a written stamped report on that to stand by.
So what we need is some kind of an idea of how much the maintenance garage.
So what I'll do is then I'll make an appointment with our architects, which is right, we've had a great thing, and ask them, sit down with them, and kind of give them an idea of what we're thinking about there, that ask them how much it would be it would cost to develop a master concept plan for that area. And then bring back to the board, decide, okay, do you want to go ahead with developing this concept plan, and do we want to do it this fiscal year or next fiscal year?
How do you choose the architect?
You know what we? It's based on professional. We pick them because we know their history, their history in working at Park and Rec. If they've worked in the North Shore before, so Wright Architect White Architect has. They've just done the Northbrook Building. They've done a lot of recreation. That's why. So we gave you all that whole big.
Yep.
They did our fitness center. So. Based on recommendations, that's why. I mean, there's we could bring in a whole bunch of interview. It really comes down to how we work with them and how well they have done in the North Shore and how well they have done in park and recreation buildings.
Because we've used them before, we're not legally obligated to do the RFP process.
Correct.
Which also means we can negotiate with them for the rate as well. And it's not a closed envelope process.
Right.
Like when we first brought
Ultima
New on,
that
once we have them on, we don't have to go back to that process each time.
Ah.
And there's a greater ability to negotiate with the contract versus just a fixed rate that comes in through an RFP.
I didn't know
that. Okay. So it behooves us if they work out, if they're successful, to stick with them.
Mm-hmm.
Two other comments, just food for thought. Unless it's a safety issue, I'd be frustrated to have to spend $200,000 on a 14N retaining wall like 2 years before that whole park area might get redeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try and defer that.
Is that a safety issue?
Not at this time. We've set that at 20%. You know, there's sections. One section was hit by a car and was repaired. It's in generally poor condition. It's right next to Writer's Theater, that park there.
Yeah,
there's a stone retaining wall.
That abuts Green Bay Road.
So the actual
the village was going to do that.
The retaining wall isn't on the Glencoe Drive side of the property. It's along the Green Bay Road side of the property.
Okay.
So it's in varying states of disrepair.
Mm-hmm.
Some sections are good. Some sections are bad. It may just be looking at doing maintenance section by section, like we've done here at Take It. If we're not going to redevelop the whole plan, you know, we did the paint. 1 year we did some, the next year we did some more. We don't necessarily have to redevelop the whole park to repair the retaining wall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something on here in case we decide to move in the direction of developing a concept plan for the whole park,
mm-hmm.
if that makes
so
sense.
So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it's related to what Michael said about Watts. As a non-hockey player, and my kids skated there a little bit when they were in kindergarten, but neither one of them frankly had any talent for it, so you know, we occasionally went there for a few years, but we're really not heavy users of it, and when I look at, and I imagine that there's a lot of other families in Glencoe like ours, it is a great amenity for the community. There's also certain people who are, you know, big boosters of it and use it a lot. I think I don't have an answer here, but I'm trying to articulate that A, like, if the people who are using it a lot pay for it, that would be nice. And also B, I think there's a lot of truth to, like, bundling. Like, if you take the beach in Watts, you're more likely to have something that somebody cares about.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why you do it. If you can't separate them, it's like, oh, well, I don't love the beach, but I really like Watts, or oh, I like Watts.
Yeah.
Or I like the beach, but I don't really like Watts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did an analysis of pass holders of Watts and pass holders of the beach and who overlapped, and almost nobody overlapped.
You're
one of the 5% that did overlap.
Wow.
Yeah. Because we were thinking, how can we do a dual pass or make this only about 5% overlap?
Wow.
It's a very different. And if you talk to some people at Watts, they say, I moved here for the ice rink. If you talk to people at the beach, I moved here for the beach.
Right. Yeah. Right.
There's
a lot more people with beach passes.
Glad to see the COVID.
That's the difference.
I struggle with Watts as well because that's just so expensive.
Yeah.
But those are our two most expensive things. But they're also the two things that kind of define a lot of Glencoe. I'd say the beach more. I think the beach bite outweighs it by 2 to 1. But Watts is, if you think about all the kids in kindergarten, I mean, how many of us brag that our kids do ice skating lessons in kindergarten? And that goes away.
In their school, yeah.
I mean, like, you know what? Like, that's uniquely Glencoe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think, because I asked you the same question before I joined the board. How can we raise the fees? Can we do this? Can we do that? It would be interesting to see the economics of the Winnetka Center, where most of the kids end up going.
Well, it is indoor.
It's indoor.
Right.
You can't compare the two.
No, but I actually bet you the indoor Winnetka is also unprofitable.
It's not. It's an enterprise fund. I talked to the manager there.
Okay.
Yeah, they closed for maybe 6-7 weeks in the summer, but they are renting from 6 a.m. till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And most ice rinks are nowadays.
Yeah.
They didn't used to be, but now they are.
They also only do about an hour of public skate. So ours is by far, this year we'll do almost 40 hours a week of public skate, and we just extended Saturdays and Sundays and Friday evenings. So with the amount of public options, it's way more beneficial if you're a private business to rent purely $350 an hour, but that's not what we do.
Yeah, but see, that's part of the campaign of like,
right.
I would almost argue if you're 40 hours of public skate, you're probably the number one public skate hockey arena in the North Shore.
Probably
yes,
the state.
Right? And those
the
are the
state. Maggie Daly Park might have,
Yeah,
well, that's
but they don't do hockey.
Right.
Yeah.
But those are the kind of things
open
that
drop-in,
we can
yeah.
think about for the community. I agree with you, Josh. As a kid, I would pay more. We'd pay for the passes and we would pay more easily to use it. I also probably pay more for the beach. But then again, you're wondering if it's...
Okay. You can pay more.
Yeah, that's okay.
But
we need to know what it is. I was going to say real quickly.
You just have to pay $3 million more.
The Watts expense also includes the Watts building, which
is
our kids program. I think that's an easier sell because that's
totally
something that we would love to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when we redo it, I think on the con side, there's a sustainability question about having an outdoor ice rink that you have to keep cold in this climate. But on the good side is maybe we could do something really special and make it a more useful amenity for other times of the year. So really, sort of sell it as something better than what we have now, not just a redo of what we have.
Yeah, I think there's a big marketing campaign around. If we don't want to package it, there's a big marketing campaign around, I'll call it hot and cold, right?
Arm and fuzzies.
All right, so I'm going to wrap up today's discussion. Remember, this is a long process, and we've been talking about it for an hour, so thank you very much, and we'll just keep on building on this discussion until we come up with a plan. So we're not in a rush. We have next year's projects all done.
Then we're going to move on.
Yes, we're going to move on.
To a discussion on community group rental classification and fees. Lisa and Bobby, take it away.
All right, so... we've been with Adam coming on board. We've been looking at a lot of our rentals and actually rec tracks. So we're able to track things a lot better. And I'll turn it over to Bobby to tell you what he found and what changes we would like to move forward. We don't need a formal vote on this, but we really want your backing because sometimes these decisions aren't always the most popular in the community. So, Bobby.
So, yeah, absolutely. Part of when this building was built was for community groups and for community to use it. So
which we want to keep on that. So
So currently we have about 40% of all reservations, rentals in this building are for community groups. With the community groups, that means they get it almost nothing or for free. So what we're looking to do is we're trying to put standardize what the definition of a Glencoe community group or a non-Glencoe community group is. We want to set those parameters for how do you qualify for free use of the community rooms, this is being one of the community rooms, or what discounts you get on other rooms if you don't use the community. So we've over 50 regular community groups that have had some kind of legacy discount or free use of the building. We've noticed a little bit of taking advantage of that in some circumstances. So we'd like to standardize it and put the four different tiers in that you saw on the board packet. So we're looking to do that going forward as of from the guidance today. I don't know if anyone has any questions, but effectively what the groups would have to do is they would have to submit an application and prove that they have a certain status, either IRS status or charity status or organization status, and that their roster will be more than 50% Glencoe residents to get that discount or free community.
Or religious organizations.
Yeah.
You have to prove that you're actually an official religious organization in Glencoe.
Can you give me an example?
Yes.
So we deal with this at my office.
Mm-hmm.
Free is going to be abused.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When does it come? We were just talking about this earlier today, mm-hmm. about people who abuse things. Can you give me an example of some of the abuse that you think of that you're trying to curtail?
You could get a group that has a similar interest, and they could be either on the religious note or on a, you know, cycling or underwater basket weaving, and it's a North Shore group where the person who's running the group lives in Glencoe and says, oh, everybody in my group is from Glencoe. And they just get together and have two big parties a year, and they would rent and get a 50% discount on the community hall, and you'd have a rental that would be $2,000, now $1,000.
Okay.
But they say they're raising money for something, or...
And they really don't have any official...
No.
Nonprofit status or anything. There's a group of people, hey, I want to do this, and I'm going to do it.
You know, like a group like that, if they prove that their roster is more than 50%...
There's no issue there, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no issue there at all.
Your challenge here is not free use or reduced fund fees for the Glencoe residents. Your challenge is the people who are not Glencoe residents but find a token Glencoe resident to help make the reservation.
Or they may be Glencoe residents and say they're using whatever to say we're the Glencoe Underwater Basket Weaving Club, because that's our favorite thing to use. And there's really no such thing as Glencoe Underwater Basket Weaving, but they're going to make this group up and say there's two residents, and now they're going to get 50% off.
Okay.
And really what they're doing is holding a party for their other fellow underwater basket weaving lovers, but really have no official organization. They just want to throw a party, and they don't want to do it at their house, and they figure out a way to get discounts.
So it's a fairness issue. Because the people who are fairly applying the rules are being...
Well, yeah, and who knows if there was rules, per se,
right.
before.
Right. We've also had cases where people who used to be associated with organizations and no longer are booking on behalf of organizations, or there's multiple organizations, same organization, booking multiple on the same night.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to have who is the person for that organization? They're the only ones approved to make the reservations.
And so this is the new proposed?
Correct.
Okay.
What's the difference between class one and class two?
So class one is just a regular resident rate. So if you're resident, non-resident. So if you were, you know, John Smith, Sheridan Road, and you're just a member of the Glencoe's residents, you'd get $160. For the community hall. If you were from Winnetka, you'd get it for $176.
Can I ask where you came up with this? Because they seem just kind of random. Like
one is 10% higher than the
other. Why is it for the non-residents? Such a tiny difference? Is
10%.
That from
per our
policy,
we talked about maybe about 3 months ago?
And you passed?
Yeah.
But 176, 160.
It's 10%.
So Bobby, if I just said, I, Josh Lutton, want to have a meeting with my friends or a business meeting or whatever,
residents
Glencoe resident, I want to rent this room.
You would pay for this room or a meeting room $49. If you were the Glencoe Sustainability Initiative group, that is made up of 20 Glencoe residents, and you were, you know, a 501c3, you could apply for to get the class 2, which is going to be free for the meeting rooms or 50% discount on the others.
I like the concept of it. What we've had experience with this at work is free is still really, 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 really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're a community center, I would actually love to think about putting like a $5 fee in. Because a $5 fee, it just stops you from taking advantage. And it's not that much, and it's easy to explain. I don't think we're going to get there in round one, mm-hmm. but I do think it's something to think about. Just a small barrier entry. If everybody had to pay a penny for the samples at Costco, nobody would take them.
I know there's been a study done on that where
free,
like even 1 cent, people are opposed.
But I'm going to fight back on that because originally,
you don't have to right now.
I'm just going to say that originally when the community center was the referendum to pass it to build it, one of the tenets of Park and Rec is that the community gets to use this community center. So I don't think we should always charge, but what we shouldn't do is that people are abusing or if they're having a big party and it costs a lot of maintenance. So if, say, someone comes in and they just want, athletic groups, for example, want to have their board meetings here once a month. They're all residents, GBA, they're coming in, they're having their board meeting. We're not doing a lot of maintenance. They're required to, you know, leave the room as they were. They're not bringing food in. If they bring food in, that's a different story and things like that.
It doesn't cost a lot. It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything, right? So why not allow that to happen? And that's just goodwill. Because believe me, people are like, I pay a lot of taxes. I shouldn't pay anything. You put a $5 fee on it, they're going to say, I pay taxes. That's part of my taxes. And it really was why this building was built.
That's why I don't think it's for this round. I would say I have no problem with it being free for those purposes, but if it does become an issue where you don't, if you do not curtail what you want to curtail, you can think about that, and $5 is still,
and I think
it doesn't even cover the incremental cost of it.
Right, and I think free means you can't charge somebody else. So if they get it for free, the room's taken, you can't get a rental fee for it. So the one thing I was thinking is the full gym is free for Glencoe Athletic affiliate groups. That means that during that open time where you're not using it, it can't be open gym.
It's only what we allow them.
Okay.
So we, in our policies, the park district sets our programs first.
Okay.
So we set every Friday morning from 8 to 9, just for example, we're going to have open gym. Glencoe Athletic can't come and say, I want to have my rental then.
Right.
No, we already done. We have done a program there.
No, I realize that, but I'm just saying during those times where you're not programming the gym, it's no longer available for open gym for the community when a Glencoe Athletic affiliate is taking it. That's all I'm saying. So there's a cost.
Do reserve in the form there to relocate.
Of sorts, yes.
There's an incremental cost to it. Do people reserve for free and not show up? Because that's one of my biggest problems. Because there's no skin in the game.
Not a huge issue.
Right. Yeah, that's not a huge issue.
The reason with the athletics group is a rain location, right? So say we have an athletics class with 10 people on in the gym, it's not a problem to have a rain out location for GBA and just drop the curtain and let them be on the other side. So they're not taking the whole court at the time. It's just a rain out location. But we're not going to charge them, you know, $80 a day to reserve the gym to not users. Because it's them not. It's because the field isn't playable. That's why they're in the gym. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be in the gym.
Right.
Yeah.
They're only doing it because they can't be outside.
We're not allowing them to run, for example, clinics.
Yeah.
And make money off that. That would be a totally different story.
Okay. I'd like to just give some feedback, which, you know, this isn't determinative of what your answer should be, but I just, as a member of I'm on a board of a nonprofit, Friends of the Green Bay Trail, and have been for 8 years or something, and I've seen that organization evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I have some useful context here. Mm-hmm. So for the first 5 years of our organization, the Friends was not a 501c3. It was just a bunch of people who got together and did stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you should just think about, like, does saying, oh, you have to be a 501c3 or some other formal entity, create a barrier to entry for really nascent new community groups.
So, yeah, you're right. And we have the option for charitable cause and club. Like, there's a couple of organizations that raise money for a charity.
Okay.
You know, and it's
a group. So you've thought about it. So I want to make sure.
We debated that too.
Okay.
10 Glencoe kids are trying to raise money for a good cause. Do you?
Yeah.
You don't charge.
IRS status.
Right.
You don't do that.
Yeah. Right.
So that's why it's an application that we review. And you know, if it is 10 kids, like the Boy Scouts are trying to do a car wash or something, or meet about a charity event, we're going to give them a community room. We're not going to charge them $49.
Okay. Yeah. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought your comment about food was brilliant, and maybe there should be a distinction, or you should think about a distinction between
if you bring food.
If you bring food, there's a
cleanup cost. Yeah,
I mean that's a great.
We talked about it.
We did.
This is just kind of phase one to.
Yeah. Not just separating the party from the meeting. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where you know the community room really the setup is pretty minimal. It's when you start getting into the community halls and you have 400 people turning up. And you paid $1,000. We spent $500 in labor costs to clean.
Right.
So, do you have guidelines? Do these people know? Like, it's written down. Like, you can't have food. This is just for a meeting.
Well, not all of them are.
Well, sometimes some of our rentals will bring like cheese or snacks or snacks like those. We tier our deposit based on the size of the rentals. So we've had some rentals that don't get their deposit back that are community groups.
Okay.
And those, again, are the ones mostly we're talking about. That
we're really talking more about the ones that want the community hall.
This is the outliers. Right?
Yeah.
This is a hurdle for the outliers.
I mean, it's really somebody having a St. Patrick's Day party and saying it's a religious celebration. Like, that's the kind of stuff you're dealing with.
Yeah, that's a very simplified version.
Really, like you're having corned beef and cabbage for 150 people.
I'm shocked.
I can absolutely this goes on.
I'm so naive.
I'll tell you, I'm fine with this. What I would love to understand is, personally, I'd like to understand in 3 months how the complaints on it. If we just circle back and see.
Oh, well, they're already.
Well, you know, I want to make it very clear. People will complain. And then they'll come to me and say, hey, I've always got it for this. Why are you changing this? So that's why we had to kind of formalize it, because there's so many people out there that maybe were approved by someone, a director, you know, 7 years ago, and they think they should still get that deal, or people that aren't here, and who knows if they even got that deal, and the first time they come, they said, well, so-and-so said I could have that, and we didn't know any better, right, because it was too new,
so
or they were just gone. So, well, now?
When people complain about this, what do you think?
We have to cover that. We have to cover our maintenance costs. The taxpayers should not have to pay for your event. And so this is just covering the basic costs of that.
Really just blame it on the board. Right?
I don't mind just saying what I just said, because if it's a community group using a community room here, those are the ones we're really worried about.
Right.
You know, it's really those big ones that are coming in having huge parties. And you can tell they're coming in just because they're a group of Glencoe and they're trying to find a name and just get that cheaper rate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to you if you could find a way to say that in sort of 30 or 40 words or less, and just almost put it on here. we are charging this because the taxpayers are putting it on.
Because the resident rate is still a good deal for rentals.
This is a great deal, I have to tell you.
Anyway.
So free for the athletic groups and free for the community groups, I mean, That's free.
That's free.
And we want something like the Friends of the Green Bay Trail to come in and use the building.
Yeah.
Number one, it brings people into the building, right? And they see what we have to offer. They're paying their taxes to this building. Mm-hmm. They see it. So we don't mind that. We don't mind groups coming and having a meeting. Again, they can't book those 3 years in advance. They have to wait till we set our schedule for our programs, and then they fill in between them. But the ones we don't like are the ones that come in and use our community hall for half price when it's already cheap just to get that deal.
But some we partner with, like the Red Cross, we'll do a blood drive. We'll partner with them, promote it. That's not an event we're going to charge the Red Cross. Or where we partner with the Friends, or we use our park district grounding as well.
Right.
Join on an event. It's the groups you've never heard of. A turn up, which I'm not going to tell you who they are. I know. It's not going to affect 95% of our continual group rentals.
So I pretty much have a consensus, I know, that we can go ahead with this?
Yeah, I mean, I would still charge non-residents more, but that's just...
Well, we can revisit that next year. Let's make this change,
yes,
and then see how much... We would like to bring data exactly how much non-residents are actually using once we make this change before we... Mm-hmm. Because sometimes... We want to fill the rooms. If we make it too cost prohibitive for non-residents to come in, they might not come in. So let's do some more research before we jump to that. Now that we have this in place,
yes,
to actually get the non-resident, non-resident fee, maybe that will be a case. Maybe it's five people that do it, and it's not worth doing that.
Okay, so we have an agreement.
Agreement? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Agreement.
I have one other business.
Yeah.
So I had a great meeting with Superintendent Wang from the school district, and they are looking. I just want to make you aware of this, and we'll probably have to bring an IGA to the board eventually. They're looking to redo South Playground. So that's the playground behind Watts. Mm-hmm. It's in desperate need. Good thing they don't want a penny from us. That's a good thing.
Good.
The thing is that because of the fall zones on playgrounds, the fall zones they have for their current playground is not big enough or to put in what they already have there. So they would like to expand the playground into park property behind them. So it's just right behind there. Wouldn't be a terrible loss of
south
anything.
Of the playground.
Yes, yes, out into our property. So we do IGA of lease agreement for them to do that. So
they would want what I call a use easement?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Well, where is it? Behind the basketball court, right?
Just straight behind, right?
South of the playground.
Where the walkway is right now?
It won't go over the walkway, it'll just go into the woods a little
bit.
That woods is our woods.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. So in between Woodlawn and the park.
The playground.
Woodlawn and the playground is the property.
Jackson.
No, Jackson.
Jackson.
Yeah. In Everly, what is it called?
There's a basketball court directly behind the. So you have the playground, the basketball court. There's like a 15 foot stretch of like dirt and mud that leads to like a little wooded area, and then there's another 8 or 9 feet of kind of just scrub growth, and then you have some mature trees behind that. So, you know, they're already cutting the grass there.
Yeah, it's like kind of taking the scrub tree.
Are you talking about the dirt and mud part, or cutting down trees?
No, the dirt and mud. We might have to take out some scrub trees, but not our big...
But not the
200-year-old.
Yeah. No.
Absolutely. No. In addition, in this phase, well, it's out there right now, the South, they have decided to make South School go geothermal. So they're looking at doing that in the next... Probably two summers out, that is. But it does affect it in order to put those geothermal tanks. They have to put it someplace. They're asking, again, for a use agreement to put those tanks under the athletic field in South. So they don't know the timing yet. We'll know in December. I said, you know, we're a little concerned because when they did it at Central, the grass and the way that the grass and the field was put back together wasn't great. It's taken forever. Now, had Chris been here, he probably could have helped them with that whole situation. They weren't looking to restore back the athletic fields. But they're going to be approaching their board about doing, instead of doing regular turf, doing artificial turf over it.
Oh, so that soccer field there
would be artificial turf. We could use it. Yes, we had more use to it, and it's our field. So again, we would go into agreement with them, and they would know all things. They're just deciding if they can afford that. The prices come down. Uh-huh. It would be beneficial for both of us. Right now, they can't use it for gym a lot, and that's their biggest open area.
Yeah.
And then we would use it for soccer and other games and our camp area like that. So they're looking into the cost of that. I said, you know, that would probably be that would really make our board want to work with you on this and let you use that field. So we're looking at that, and we'll know by December if they're going to go ahead with that. Central School is also doing a whole renovation for Meisner entrance. They're actually using Altum New, so they did something on, is it Central entrance? And now they're going to do...
My kids, but they go to San Diego.
It's just the entrance.
So now they're doing Meisner. They're working on that north end field because they had so much problems.
Good.
So they're going to be redoing that field, putting a walking track around it, and then putting other amenities because it's old for older kids.
Yeah.
So they're going to do bocce. They're going to do a basketball court. They're going to do ping pong. They're going to do bags, all in that area, which is nice because the teen center's right there too. So we might have to work with them on some of the issues
there.
So we're excited about that too. So I was really excited about that.
When are they doing that, or they're not sure yet?
They don't know. Summer, I think summer 2020 is
that's
what
nice.
They're thinking. So maybe
good.
Next summer.
That's
so that's kind of awesome. I just because some of those things impact us, and it's like they're putting a whole recreation thing on for
it does.
Great.
For
yeah,
us,
we've
so
said that's
we
stop talking
we
about bocce ball.
Well, that's the age group we always talk about that we...
Yeah, so mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. it means some of our goals
yeah.
at that site, and
yes,
it's right
it
behind where the teen center is.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying when we put in the Berlin Fields, boy, it would be nice to put a playground or something for the
yeah.
older kids. We just didn't have room. So now they see that need also. We talked to it about them, so that's what they're going to put in that area.
Okay.
So
fantastic.
We're excited about that. I just want to share with that, and I'll keep you appraised as we go along. We also will, when we were going through our distinguished accreditation and loss control, we realized that we don't have affiliate use agreements with them, or I guess IGAs. So we're going to be developing one of those, a broad spectrum one, because we use all their school for free. So and we help them out in their athletic fields and things like that. So it's a great partnership. We've just been doing.
We don't pay rent for any of that.
We do
programs.
Not anymore. We used to and. And when Catherine Wayne came on, we sat in a little sit down and said, "Hey, we don't offer this. Can we use the buildings for free?" And she said, "Absolutely." She saw the benefit,
yeah.
you know, for both of us
that
using those. So it's a great
huge.
Partnership. Yeah, yeah.
Good.
So.
Any questions for Lisa about that?
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Lisa?
There's no reporters here. So I can take advantage of this. We do have a donation for the Lincoln and Crescent Playground. It is the Zerlin family, which is associated with the Takeoff. It's one of the Takeoff daughters who passed away this last December. Great family. They're interested in donating $300,000 so that we're able to put in the port in place, and they really want to donate to the train, and that was one of the donation items. They felt very strongly and knowing her and in our programs, and she was a great user of the Park District with her kids. She does not want the playground. The family feels strongly she would not want the playground named after her, but she did have a beloved pet that they said, that would be awesome if we could name the pet. So the pet's name was Duke. So it'd be Duke Park, which could, to anybody, could be the school, could be anything. And then they wanted a bench plaque put on it with her name on it, which we would normally do anyway.
Sorry, take if this Babette is the one who's this one?
There was take a family, so it was Babette and
Sandy,
thank you.
And
yeah.
Babette is still a resident, and this is one of her daughters?
Yes. That passed away this December.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And has four children.
They have four children, and they live right across from her.
Yeah,
the Zerlin family lives.
Duke.
No,
Sherry
Zerlin.
Sherry. I thought you said the woman's dog.
No,
I'm like,
sorry,
Duke.
The woman has her
Sherry.
Yeah, she's so.
Okay,
and Jill, the family lives right next to the playground, so it's all just.
And they were very good. They were very big users, and she was always so nice to our staff, and
mm-hmm.
So they're a good family. So they wanted to know if we would consider naming it, be okay with the Duke. Park name? Playground?
Yes.
Park.
Park. The $300,000, that's what they offered, or that's what we.
That we were negotiating,
okay.
And so it finally came down to that. The playground, they know, if you read anything, it was already approved. So they asked what is not being funded, and that's how we came up with that amount. And we thought that was a fair amount for that. It would be a 25-year naming rights is what we're going to negotiate tomorrow because that's really, it's a little longer than the useful life of a playground. Usually playgrounds are about 15, 20 years. So it's a little longer because someday they'll have to be replaced and we didn't want to hand, tight.
And of course, if it's replaced and no one steps in with a contribution. And
it would remain that name.
Requesting naming rights, it would just stay Duke Park, so.
Yeah. And so I'm meeting with them tomorrow morning, so I just want to make sure, is everybody okay with that? If you have a strong objections, I need to know before tomorrow morning about that name.
And as a reminder, the train would not have been done had
no,
we not had
it would not have been done. Nor would the port of place have been done.
Which
so.
Would have been a big Chris problem.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I just don't understand why we wouldn't tie into sort of the usefulness of that park so that in 20 years when that thing gets to be replaced,
find
another donor. Like that to me seems
I could
normal.
Say
I'm not saying it's the
I could say that it's people have had a hard time with that. Donors have. So, for example, Melvin Berlin Park was a 50-year naming right because of, and that was $1 million.
Size,
and even though that yes. useful life of that playground, that baseball field will be have to replace in 20
years.
That
actually did.
And take this in perpetuity, which I don't recommend doing. So.
And by the way, the 50 years, that was a contentious point near the end of the negotiation. Yeah. So that was an issue.
I would be fighting.
Lots of lawyers. You guys have much more
expertise. I would fight more for that 20 years if all of our parks were named and no one had a chance to name a park anyplace else.
You guys know this better than me, but that just seemed off. But you have a reason, so that's okay.
And I don't know why I don't understand what your position is. Often it shouldn't be.
No, it should be 20.
It should be 20.
It should be aligned.
Aligned
so
with the actual.
I think
yeah,
the argument that I made, Lisa,
yes,
that, like,
yes,
it should
got
be,
it.
It should be aligned.
Okay.
It seems off to not have it aligned.
Yeah, yeah.
It also
yeah.
does not seem like that big of a deal. So
yeah, right.
if it's a big deal for them and it's not a big deal for us, we walk. But personally, I would have.
I could start out at 20 and see what the, and maybe they'll say, so I have a negotiating room, so.
It's up to you. You know how to do these things best. I will leave it to you. You guys are done this a lot more.
I wouldn't say that, but
that's 8 a.m. We're gonna have to
wake up.
So. We've heard from donors in the past that I just want to die with that name on the park.
Uh-huh.
That they think about how many more years they might live, uh-huh. and that's where they start their position from.
Yeah,
I'm gonna probably live like another 25 years. I just want my XYZ name on that park until I die. That's we've heard that.
We've heard that,
uh-huh.
but his daughters will probably be in town for a lot longer than that. So,
yeah.
You know, my guess is so. But at that point, they have first right of refusal. So if someone comes and says, "I want to pay $300,000," you go to the daughters and say, "Keep," you know, so. But regardless of it, if it gets renamed, a plaque still stays in the park. So.
We could try 20 years or when we replace the park.
I could try that, yeah. Or until the end of its useful life.
Well, also remember there's
well, you could say like a minimum of
20
years, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We won't,
yeah.
And also
no matter what happens, it's that name for 20 years.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah,
if you don't replace
yeah.
the park until... 28 years.
You get it for 28.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's too.
Yeah, actually, that's not a terrible position.
No, I don't think. I think there is.
We know that it'll probably
75 years.
It sort of extends the potential for how long it is.
I am
so actually, I don't mind
this.
What if it goes out in 15 years?
Well, you still get a
yeah.
That's a fair.
I sure hope it doesn't go out in 15 years. Let me tell you.
Oh God, no.
The playground will last longer than the splash pad. Definitely, the playground will get a good life out of it.
And he's not funding the splash pad.
Yeah.
Doing. So it's such an unassuming family, really nice to work with. So
yep.
I don't see any issues.
Good
okay.
Luck.
Thank you,
sir. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Who seconded? I'm sorry.
I did.
Okay.
All in favor?
All right.
Okay. All right. I like that. Okay, motion passes.